Welcome back in the Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from Kitchen Notes inside of Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Braden, D. Mason Chase. So we're going to get to Mariota versus Winston. We're going to revisit that in just a few moments. Obviously, Titans camp
talking about
the last 2 days.
Nick, talk about hope.
What do you mean hope?
Yeah, when I said Sparty's going to beat Michigan, well, I hope.
Well, you know, I hope they do.
There ain't no hope.
Why are you hoping that they...
I'm just not a fan of...
Oh, you don't like Harbaugh?
I'm just not a nervous chicken kind of guy.
Well, neither is Jim Harbaugh. So.
It will happen.
Jim Harbaugh doesn't like nervous birds.
We are doing a college fantasy football league amongst us, and I am going with the Nervous Chickens as my team.
I think it's a great name.
I'm going
great
Victory for MSU as my name.
Mine has something to do with Khalil Tate.
That can't be said on radio.
That I can't say on the air.
Michigan State game. I'm already calling it now. Party at my house. Michigan State.
Oh, so your house will be ready by November?
Oh.
A little behind schedule?
I think so. Yeah, I don't want to know the problems I've had in my backyard.
Oh, yeah. What happens in your backyard stays in your backyard. Just leave it at that.
Well, but it looks nice. It's starting to look nice.
Isn't that the point of having a backyard? Like, we all just want our own privacy, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Got privacy walls. These people that come in do the upgrades. Uh-huh. Do you treat them properly?
Oh,
or are you like the wealthy, snotty guy?
If you can act, you can talk to the person. You can talk to the contractor, the head contractor. You can ask her. I've been the most patient person in the world.
Do you come they out with probably like, iced tea never lemonade
dealt,
for them?
They probably never dealt with someone as patient as I have been.
And humble as well.
Do they know who you are?
Yes. Okay. And that's why she's like, I appreciate how patient you are. My thing is, as much as I want it done, I can't force it to be done, you know? As much as
you can
I
yell.
Want it done, yelling doesn't
do
it,
anything.
It doesn't
October
do anything.
October 20th, Nashville, you are invited to Derek Mason's house.
No, I
Michigan
said Braden,
at Michigan
Nick,
State.
Chase.
All of Nashville is invited. There'll be more people at D. Mason's backyard party for that game than there will be at the Titans game that Sunday.
Okay, getting back to quickly the Rolling Stone
Just
thing.
Kidding.
Yeah, you had a take.
Yeah, okay. The Country Music Hall of Fame is offended at you.
Yes, they are truly offended.
The entire
offended.
Thing.
And I can understand, but see, you got to know the history and the background of one Derek Mason. I come from the inner city of Detroit. We grew up in a really nice area. My mom and dad worked, so we grew up in a nice area, but still, we didn't listen to the Rolling Stones in Detroit. We didn't.
I'm not denying that.
I'm 44.
How long have you been south of the Mason-Dixon line?
But still, when I think
half of your life,
since '97,
more
off and on. But when I first think of Brown Sugar, I go to D'Angelo because he was during my days in college and those days that you really remember. Young days before marriage and kids, that's what was played. D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Brown Sugar.
Not D'Angelo Hall. But
no, not right. D'Angelo Hall, yeah. The singer
well,
D'Angelo.
To be fair to the Rolling Stones, and you do wear a Muscle Shoals sweatshirt around.
I love my
around.
Muscle,
I've tried
muscle
to,
Shoals.
I've tried to get the Muscle Shoals
no,
sweatshirt
you can't
from
get
you.
That sweatshirt.
And if you know anything about Muscle Shoals, is that the Rolling Stones.
Everybody went through there.
The Rolling
Everybody.
But the Rolling Stones are tied to Motown in a heavy way. They're tied to the old Aretha, R.I.P., was with the like she went through Muscle Shoals with the Rolling Stones like they were
everybody,
all the Stones were they
that
were
was the
blues,
place to
man.
Go that was the place to go to record in Alabama yeah. That was the place to go for everybody and they went through there and a lot of things were recorded
well,
there
spent a lot of time in Memphis at Stax as well.
Yes,
yeah,
the point,
our parents
the point is the
Memphis.
Stones have some ties to Detroit, is what I'm saying. Like, there's some tie. Also, if you've ever listened to any music ever, you've heard the song Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones.
I mean, it's not like I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
But when you say the first thing,
all right.
It's like, okay.
You said a movie, though. You said a movie quote.
But
was that you, Nick,
that
said movie quote?
No,
yeah.
I said the movie quote.
Yeah, your
quote,
first thing
Taye
was...
Diggs and right. Sanaa Lathan.
Okay.
Was in this
all
movie.
Right, right.
Taye Diggs?
Yeah, Taye Diggs. Yeah.
Any relation to Stephon Diggs?
I doubt it.
No, he never fumbled in the program.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
but
Do
he
you
got
want me to
Dave
just
Halle
play
Perry,
this
so
throughout
cool.
the segment?
Yeah. Everyone's heard this song like a million times.
What is the first Rolling Stones song you think of when you hear Rolling Stones?
I mean, probably Satisfaction, but it's not my favorite. It's just
I always think Start Me Up.
Yeah, Start Me Up. I mean, there's like 50 number one hits. Like they're just.
I mean, I'm not. No. I'm not saying. I mean, the Stones are one of the most iconic, groups ever. I'm not saying that. I didn't know who the Stones were.
Sure.
It was just when I think of that song, I think of.
They're also one of the few bands that crossed the color barrier earlier
exactly.
because of their blues influence and because mm-hmm. of their soul influence. They had such a. big time with that. But, man, it's I will say this. When I saw him at Nissan Stadium a couple years ago, it was like 150 degrees outside. But they played all the same songs they've probably played 4 million times. And what I have a ton of respect for with them is that they played every single song exactly like they played it in like 1969. Mm-hmm. And that's I give a ton of respect to people, to artists that can come out and say, all right, we've played Start Me Up and Brown Sugar and Satisfaction 4 billion times, but we're going to go out there and we're going to do it again.
And you're going to listen to it.
And it's going to be the best stinking version we've ever played. And I got a lot of respect for artists that do that.
All right, Big Titans Hour coming up this hour. We'll talk to Eric Bacharach, who covers the Titans for the Tennessean at the bottom of the hour. But let's kind of go back. And Joe Rexroad had a really good piece on the Tennessean yesterday, revisiting the Mariota versus Winston draft class picks 1 and 2 from 2015. And obviously it's relevant because the Titans and Bucks have been practicing together this week and they will play tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium. When we think about, and there's many different layers to this conversation, but the first thing I would say overall, if you think about it, with them going 1 and 2, is it fair to say that they have, on the scale of what you typically expect, that they have both underperformed?
You got to understand where each of these franchises were when these guys got drafted.
1 and 2 in the
exactly.
draft.
Exactly. They were bottom barrel teams. And now look at them. Both teams, Titans have been to a playoff. Tampa has been close to going to a playoff. So I think relative to, you know, what we saw of the Titans in Tampa 2-3 years ago to where they're at now, I think both of these quarterbacks have achieved a lot. Maybe not from a stat standpoint, but I think from a organizational standpoint, how the organization feels about their future. Now, if Jameis just can get out of his own way, then, you know, the future's bright for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And what we see of Mark is if he can just stay healthy, the future's bright for the Tennessee Titans with Marcus Mariota at the helm. And so I don't think these two guys failed.
I'm a big Marcus guy. No, I'm not saying that they failed.
Well, Jared Goff's first season and Mitch Trubisky's first seasons were both significantly worse than both Mariota and Winston seasons, and they were 1 and 2. Yeah.
But when we rank our quarterbacks, neither one of these guys are top 12 quarterbacks in the league right now. And entering year 4, I just asked the question, have they underperformed considering they were the first and second? Now, nobody's saying any of them were going to be Peyton Manning.
I say no.
And I don't think any of them were going to be Ryan Leaf bad. Mm-hmm. But overall, where do you guys – how would you grade them at this very moment of their body of work?
Winston's body of work, I think you could be more critical of. I mean, Mariota had an excellent second season, took, to Derek's point, an awful franchise under Ken Whisenhunt, and led them to a winning record, just barely missing the playoffs – and had a great second season. And then the third season, while his statistical performance wasn't as good, he led him to the playoffs again and then led him to a victory again in the postseason. So there's been progress and growth. I think Mariota, and especially considering the questions about him coming out of college, when you say, hey, he's a check-with-me guy on the sideline, he runs his own read offense, he's a spread quarterback, can he transition to the NFL under center? I think you could argue Mariota's actually been better than most people thought he was going to be. And with Winston, I think it's slightly worse than what people expected. I personally thought Jameis Winston was as surefire a number one pick as we've seen in a long time. This was a five-star recruit coming out of high school who led his team to a national championship, broke every single record. The problem with Jameis Winston isn't the talent. The problem with Jameis Winston is between the ears. And the kid is not mature enough to understand what he's doing. Because this is, and again, it goes beyond maturity because he may also have some sleaze in him too. Like he just might not be a... Like, he lures you in, like, with this really affable personality, and he's sort of a con artist to some degree. Mm. And if he has to understand, like, he doesn't get it. He stood out there at training camp at the Titans and talked about his socks. Like, he doesn't get how serious the things that we talk about when we talk about his resume off the field. He doesn't understand how serious they are because he's gotten away with everything his entire life. So I think the underachievement for Winston is the maturity level and the decision-making off the field. I think his on-the-field talent is pretty obvious. I think he's an extremely talented player. He needs to not, you know, turn the football over as much. But so I would say Jameis from a, hey, there were some questionable character issues with him coming out of college. Those have sort of continued to show themselves. That I would say he's underachieved a tiny bit. But
if you look at it this way too, take some of the weapons that he's had. Uh-huh. I mean, Mike Evans is a man. DeSean Jackson is a burner. I mean, if you gave those weapons to Marcus,
yeah,
I think Marcus would do.
Saffron Jenkins.
So Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had, I think, collectively on the perimeter, he's had more weapons than Marcus. I think Marcus would have done more or would do more with those guys than what Jameis has done. Because the numbers are pretty similar for their career.
Well, I don't know, because when Jameis became quarterback, it was
Winston went for 4,000 yards in his first two seasons.
Pretty good. He had the receiver was in his second year. DeSean Jackson wasn't there quite yet. And then he ended up coming the next following year, I believe. It's been a up and down.
Went 9-7 his second year, just like Marcus.
But if you look at if you're basing it upon stats, yes, he's thrown more interceptions than Marcus. He has 44 interceptions. I think Marcus has 34. So he's thrown 10 more interceptions. But they've
Marcus
allowed
had him, the fumble issues too.
They've allowed him to throw the football a little more than what the Titans were allowing Marcus Mariota. Winston, he's more of a risk taker. He's more of a gunslinger than Marcus. I think Marcus is more calculated. Marcus, he only takes chances when he has to. I think Jameis, he doesn't mind taking a chance even when he doesn't have to. And, sometimes, more than not, it has worked out for him if you look at his college days. But, again, these, to me, it all boils down to this. Which guy gets it and which guy doesn't? It seems right now that Marcus has gotten it, and Jameis is still, for some strange reason, is trying to figure it out. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like
he doesn't know how to be a pro.
It's like he doesn't. I think he knows how, but he hasn't grown up. You can just see it.
Doesn't care?
He hasn't grown up yet. It's just like he's still a kid, and no one has just taken him.
He's making grown man mistakes off the field.
No one has taken him and said, listen, you are a grown man. You're dealing with other grown men. You need to start acting like it. You are a quarterback of a franchise.
Real quickly, I know we got to hit a break. Not counting this past year, 2018, quarterbacks taken in the first round: E.J. Manuel, Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Paxton Lynch, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Mitchell Trubisky, and I believe Deshaun Watson. There's like three or four good players on that list. So there's a lot of busts in the first round.
That is since when?
And that's not counting this past season, but that was the last five draft class, not counting Baker and Sam Darnold and these guys we don't know yet.
Yep.
But again, I mean, Goff and Wentz are good. Mariota's good. Bortles. I mean, these are a bunch of busts. So the point is out of all these 12 quarterbacks that have been taken, Mariota's one of the best ones in the first round in the last 5-6 years.
All right, we'll continue this conversation on the other side. Eric Bacharach from the Titans coming up at the bottom of the hour. And how many series do we want to see from Marcus tomorrow night? And what will the fans look like? You got to stay there. But also, guys, you thought the Jay-Z Beyonce ticket was your only chance to win something this morning?
Free stuff.
Guess again. We've got Nashville SC tickets to give away. Stay tuned. That's coming up next as well. A lot to do. It's Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live inside of Kitchen Notes, Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Chase. A lot to get to this hour, including stick to sports, but we've got tickets.
Yes, we've got a giveaway, and again, to just illustrate the greatness of the Rolling Stones, that might not even be a top 25 Rolling Stones song.
I disagree.
Beast of Burden, might not even be top 20.
See, Chase disagrees.
But it's great. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a phenomenal song, and they have so many great songs. It might not even be.
So that song is kind of like the Ryan Ellis to the
No. That's
NHL
insulting.
Defenseman.
That's insulting to Ryan Ellis.
Ryan Ellis is like the 20th defenseman in the league.
Maybe.
Now, see, that's your opinion. In my opinion, this is my favorite Rolling Stone song.
Is it?
It's like Wild Horses. I've just heard it 4,000 times. Gimme Shelter might be the greatest rock and roll song of all time.
The more I hear a song, the more I like it.
In my opinion. All right, we have a ticket giveaway. We have Nashville SC tickets to give away, our club, our town. Of course, against Bethlehem Steel, August 25th. So here's the deal. When you know it's a sign of starting to make it in a sport when you start to get parody accounts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when there's a parody account of you, that means you're starting to make it a little bit in this town. There is a parody account of one particular Nashville SC player. It's fairly entertaining. It's not well followed. I want to get it some love here. Mm-hmm. But the player on the team is embracing it. So the player on the team is embracing this parody account, which is really funny because now he's like going after the Twitter account and having some fun with it. It's actually been really fun to follow if you know who I'm talking about. So here's the deal. The first five people to tweet at our show's Twitter account and tag this parody account of a Nashville SC player will get tickets to the Bethlehem Steel match on August 25th, I believe at First Tennessee Park. Does all of that make sense?
Yes.
There's a parody account of a player on Nashville SC. Mm-hmm. Tweet at 1025_MD and tag this parody account in that tweet, and the first five people who do that will get tickets.
That's a good one.
To Bethlehem Steel. And again, this particular player on the squad has totally embraced it. He's going back and forth with his Twitter account. It's funny. And frankly, I think when you have a parody account, it's a sign that you've made it.
It's kind of like the Derek Mason Vest account. I love that
yes.
account. Oh, I love it.
Ryan Ellis is the Captain Ellis, you know. Uh-huh. You know, he's got his account. It's sort of a sign that you're established, that you're a thing now. And this particular account is quite funny. And this particular player is embracing it. You got to lean in.
Yeah, you got to lean. Hey, quickly, where was well, you probably know it, Braden. But where was Brown Sugar recorded?
You're saying it wasn't Muscle Shoals?
No, I'm just saying. I'm asking you.
Oh, it's either now they had it's not off of Exile on Main
where
Street.
Where was it?
Exile on Main Street was recorded I believe, in the south of France.
Okay.
I don't know where Brown Sugar was recorded.
Well, you just said it, Muscle Shoals.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Recorded actually there. At Monster Shoals.
See, there you go. You got the sweatshirt, man.
Yeah, I love the sweatshirt, and I'm not selling it to you. I'm not giving it to you.
I know, you won't. It hurts my feelings.
I need more of those sweatshirts.
Brown Sugar, 2002 movie.
Stick to sports.
See, there we go. It's a movie.
Speaking of parody
IMDb.
Accounts, have you guys seen the faux Andrew Luck parody account?
Who?
The fake Andrew Luck account?
Yeah, the one about him being a Confederate general or something like that?
He tweeted this out yesterday. He says, Beth, word has spread that an enemy soldier by the name of Ramsey from a regiment down south besmirched my name and battle talents. We shall see how big of a man he is once we meet on the battlefield come this fall. Meanwhile, I'll continue to prep for the coming year. Signed, Andrew.
Yeah. Well, now he's got the... Now he's got the carpet on his upper lip. Yeah.
I don't understand that.
The lip carpet.
He's taking a shot at Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, no, no, Ramsey, no, I understand
by
that.
By the way, Jalen Ramsey called him. He ripped Andrew Luck, didn't he?
He did not. No, no. Yeah, he
was on the negative list?
Andrew Luck was sort of in the negative list. But
well, see, I'd never.
He wasn't really like. He wasn't too inflammatory about it.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, he didn't call him trash.
I don't understand why players even venture down that road.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, we're all playing the same sport. We're all trying to achieve the same thing.
So if Jalen Ramsey was on your team today, what are you saying to him?
I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Now, again, I was listening to Darren and Donick yesterday, and they had Tim Hasselback on. And they had asked Tim that question. And Tim basically said, listen, there's no cause for it. You know, what you do is now you put a bullseye on your back. And those guys that on that team that love that particular person, quarterback, now they're going to, you know, they're going to go out of their way. If they have an opportunity to lay a good one on you, they are. Or they're going to make sure they run at you. They're going to find the things that you're weak at, and they're going to come at you. So, I mean, you like the bravado of Ramsey. I think Ramsey is a really, really good player. Arguably, you know, top two or three corner in the National Football League. But it's another thing, like Tim said, it's hard to sustain, you know, being the number one corner in the NFL for a very long time. And when you start doing that, I think guys nowadays, they just want attention. They just don't want no longer to go out there and play the game and do it that way. They want that extra added attention. They want, you know, to be the enemy, so to speak. And I saw a little bit on him on GQ, and he talked about all this, you know, this humble and him holding around, you know, carrying Bible verses. But you're the same guy. You got a Bible verse that talk about self-control and all this other stuff. You're the same person that's fighting people. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be a hypocrite, dude. You know, you're fighting someone, but you're talking about self-control. I just see that. That irks me as a guy that has played in this league. Like, dude, some things you're a phenomenal player. some things you just don't need to do. Your people didn't bring you up that way, and all of a sudden it seems like you feel you need to have this bigger than life persona. You are a damn good football player.
So you think he's coming off a bit fraudulent because this is not the way he really was?
No, I don't think he was this way.
Because you followed him coming up, right?
I think he is this way. I think he has grown into it and changed over time.
Yeah.
Because when you become a superstar, money can change people.
Oh, of course.
Fame can change
people. Well, it doesn't change you. It reveals who you truly are.
Maybe so, but I also think who you really are at 17 isn't really who you are. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of, you know, like, you just sort of grow and mature. Sometimes it's a good way or a bad way. This just reminds me of the Twitter guy who, like, is dog cussing me for my take on a Predators game when he's got a Bible verse in his Twitter account. Like, that always drives me crazy. Like, you're just dog cussing me, which I personally am not offended by bad language. I'm just not. But, like, if you're going to be totally disrespectful and rude to someone on social media, don't also be preaching Bible verses in your Twitter account. Like, it's just kind of silly and stupid.
But
to me, it's just beneath Ramsey. Like, it's one thing to start fights and to be a louder than life personality, because maybe it's good for his brand. Maybe he gets more endorsements because of it. Like, he's a smart kid. He might have a plan for all this. I also think it's entertainment and it's good for the sport. That being said, I think there's a line when you start going back and forth with media people on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You're never gonna win. You're just not gonna. It's gonna make you look like you're paying too much attention to the people that are quote unquote beneath you. You just don't need to be paying attention to like what a reporter writes about. Like, just move on. Who cares?
There hasn't been a player in this league that has stepped out like that. That hasn't been humbled at some point where you got to kind of reevaluate yourself and say, okay, maybe I need to take another approach.
Because they compared him to Deion Sanders, both being a Florida State guy as far as the trash talking. Deion did
Prime
it.
Prime wasn't like that.
He did it in a playful way.
Prime wasn't fighting with people. Yeah, he did have the whole Andre Rison thing.
It's Prime would fall on the ground before he'd get a fight.
Yeah, but Prime wasn't – that wasn't Prime. You know, what he's doing, what Jalen's doing, Prime wasn't doing that.
Mm-hmm. You know what is Prime? Hermitage Golf. It's pretty simple. It's about as good as it gets. It's the number one rated daily fee course in the state of Tennessee, and that's not just me telling you that. That's Golf Digest. That's PGA.com. That's ESPN, the magazine. The tradition of golf excellence began in 1986, and it continues 32 years later. From check-in to the 19th hole, you will enjoy this first-class golf destination and see the distinction that separates itself from the rest of the courses, not just in Nashville, not just in Middle Tennessee, but the entire state. Rolling stretches of scenic terrain laid out along the Cumberland River, it is as close to golf perfection as you will find. Weddings, cottages for stay and play packages, food and beverage service that is off the charts. Check them out today. Tell them Nick Kale sent you. Hermitage Golf, so perfect, it might as well be private. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Chase, good to have you in on this Friday as we talk some Tennessee Titans right now. We welcome in Eric Bacharach, who covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well.
Good to have you in. So yesterday, a little bit of scary news as Delanie Walker limps off the practice field. What did you make of the injury? I know Vrabel's not going to give us much and hasn't given us much in regards to injuries, but what do you make of it, and what is the latest?
Yeah, well, I was actually watching the defense yesterday, so I didn't see the play itself, but I did see him hobble off the field, and if you saw him walking off, he couldn't be walking any slower. So, you know, obviously it raised some red flags, and, you know, it was right in front of sort of the media that was crowded around the podium area just because it had started raining. So everybody saw him kind of go in. You know, I think it might have been an ankle. That's to me what it looked like, or something like that. And, you know, as I said, he walked off the field very slowly and had a team doctor there with him. With Delanie, it's obviously playing as safe as you can. You know, he just turned 34 years old. I don't know how serious it is yet. To me, it didn't look super serious. I think it might have been a tweaked ankle or something like that, just from the way he was walking. But, we don't expect to hear much, from the Titans side of things as far as, any updates or anything like that.
Now, with that being said, is there any more news on Rashad Matthews? Because obviously if you lose – and we hope this is not the case, but Delanie's not going to play after leaving practice. He's not going to play this preseason game. But if you lose Delanie for any extended amount of time, meaning even in the regular season, They're going to need as many pass catchers as they can have, because without Delaney is a very young group. So is there any more word or any new word on Rashad Matthews and when he is expected back?
No, right now there's no new update. Yesterday we saw him out there again on the practice field, just kind of watching practice. He was in a hat, in shorts. We've seen him, in that role kind of a bunch, but no real update there. And obviously, as you mentioned, Delaney and Rashard are your two most proven reliable pass catchers, past couple of years. To have, not have either of them would obviously be a huge blow. You need them back on the field. I don't think the Delaney thing is so serious, though. Again, it's hard to make or speculate what kind of the injury is based on what we saw yesterday. I don't think it'll be something that keeps him out long term. But with Rashard, he's still on the PUP list, hasn't practiced at all in training camp. So, again, it's kind of just waiting to see when, he starts showing up and doing more than he's done. The most I've seen from him so far this training camp was kind of just running routes, catching balls with QB coach Pat O'Hara before practice. That was about a week ago, maybe a little longer. But other than that, we really haven't seen much from him. So still kind of in a holding pattern and just waiting to see when we get some sort of update on Rashard Matthews.
When you look at this secondary, it certainly they've been the talk of the camp. They're very talented. We all think they're going to be good. But are we overhyping them a little bit because they're going against a receiving core that, as we've just covered, has got a lot of questions right now? Or is this going to be one of the best units in the NFL?
I mean, I think on paper, definitely on paper, it looks like one of the best units in the NFL. And, we saw 2 days ago Malcolm Butler get beat a bunch by Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson. But yesterday he came back and really held his own against those guys. In the secondary, as a whole, did a really good job. Obviously, Adoree Jackson had a really good day, had a couple of interceptions, had a couple of celebratory backflips that followed each of those interceptions. So I think it was a good bounce-back day for the secondary. And I think, all the praise and sort of high expectations for that unit is justified just with sort of the level of talent they have back there. I think it'll be a little while for that unit to kind of come together with, you've got Kenny Vaccaro, who just was signed not too long ago, Malcolm Butler, the new guy. But when you look at sort of the fact that Adoree's going into year two, still have Logan Ryan, Kevin Byard, that unit should be really strong and should be a real strength of this team, obviously.
Talking to Eric Bacharach, covers the Titans for the Tennessean, joining us here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So open camp is no longer a thing. Fans can no longer go to practices. So in some regards, we're kind of transitioning a little bit with training camp. What have you learned so far from the first camp, the first go-around with Mike Vrabel? Like, what is your biggest observation and takeaway beyond him not giving the media updates on injuries? What have you taken away in the first 2.5, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway is still my biggest takeaway from probably day one, which is just how sort of hands-on Mike Vrabel was or is with his players. You could tell immediately that, he's a guy that's not that far removed from an NFL career himself. He got into it as much as with his players as he could. We saw it almost on a daily basis where he's out there with this blocking pad and kind of just getting – really hands-on with his guys. I think they respond really well to that. The players, especially defensive guys, special teams guys, they could obviously really relate. And when they hear some advice coming from, a guy that's not far removed from an NFL playing career and is kind of right there with them in the trenches, it's something that, they could really take to heart. And just from what I saw, that they responded to it really well. I think that was my biggest thing, just through training camp. And then looking at, the team as a whole, kind of just seeing what this team is. If they stay healthy, from what I saw, I think it could be a really good team. That's obviously going to be the biggest thing is just staying healthy with this team. There weren't a ton of starting positions up for grabs at the start of camp, and, there still aren't now. It's probably just running back with Derek and Deion. And then on the defensive side, that inside linebacker spot with, you know, Rashawn Evans probably coming into camp, obviously, is the favorite, but he hasn't really practiced since the third day of camp, so we're still waiting on him. And then with Mariota, from day one until probably now, I've seen him get better. You know, early on he was throwing a fair amount of turnovers, and that was a concern for some people, but just in the past couple of days especially, it looks like he's really sort of getting the timing down with a couple of guys, especially Corey Davis. And as he's gone along, I think he's gotten better, and I would expect to see that sort of carry over into Saturday night's game.
Eric Bacharach covers the Titans for the Tennessean. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. What do you think? Now, we all know the third preseason game is the, quote, final dress rehearsal. Do we expect Marcus to go a full quarter tomorrow night? Because he went one series.
I think
the first
so.
Game.
I think you. It all depends on how the drives go for him. If they have a good first drive like they did last game, then they have a good second drive. I think that's it, whether it's a quarter or not. But
let's say two possessions, a touchdown and a field goal. You give him the night off then.
Yeah, but even if it doesn't. In scoring, if he moves the ball down the field in a way that the offense offensive coordinator LaFleur feels comfortable with, then whether they score a touchdown or a field goal, I think he removes them after two series. But if they do struggle, I think you'll see Marcus play a quarter, and then the third game he will play a half and maybe a quarter into the maybe a few series a series into the third quarter.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, D-Mace. I think the third series is the question. I think, does he get a third series or not? Some of it depends on how Dennis Kelly might be playing.
Yeah.
if the offensive line is not looking like they're doing anything at all tomorrow night, then I think you pull him out of there quick. You don't need to risk any injury or anything like that. But I think you're right. If he struggles through two series, I think you probably get a third series. But I think two is probably what you're looking for. If he's good in those two series, get him out of there. He's fine and he's good to go. I'm really just fascinated. Like every preseason game, it's always about the last 10 guys on the roster and the first 10 guys off the roster. Those 20 guys are the guys I'm really looking at. And then the new players, the rookies, Malcolm Butler, Harold Landry, some of those guys as well. So I think I'm because of Delaney's injury, I'm now more interested in Jonnu Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've always been interested in him and what his role is going to be in this offense. But now that he may get more time with the ones as Delaney Walker's role, maybe that he becomes a much bigger watch tomorrow night when you're keeping an eye on things.
All right, coming up next, we stick to sports. It's Morning Drive. We are live from Kitchen Notes inside the Omni Nashville Hotel on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Guys, Connie Eddy is my lender. She's her and First Tennessee and Middle Tennessee Bank. They took care of my family. We had this long, complicated, really brutal close where it took lots of time and months of this and months of that. And it was a difficult process where we had a 120-day rate lock and we had to go through the construction process. But they sat us down at closing and in no time at all, with very little pain and suffering on our part and our family, they gave us the best possible rate and the best possible opportunity to get the best possible loan for our family. Connie Eddy of First National Bank of Middle Tennessee, if I could say that right, is who took care of my family. And listen, she's got over 20 years of experience in mortgages in Nashville. So if you find your dream house, you know you probably have to jump on it. The market's moving really fast right now. It always does in this city. Whether you're a first-time buyer or you've got a rental property or you need a VA loan, whatever it is you need, condo, house, new build, old rehab, whatever it is, Connie Eddy and her team at First National Bank of Middle Tennessee has you covered. So make sure you call Connie Eddy right now, 615-474-0858. That's 615-474-0858. You shouldn't trust your family's new home with anyone else. It's why my lender is Connie Eddy. Call her today at 615-474-0858.
Good morning, Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game, Mikhail Braden-Gall, Derek Mason, and Chase McCabe. We are broadcasting live inside of Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel. I've got the bacon cheddar biscuit. It is to die for, so I will probably be of no use for the next hour and 15 minutes.
Are you really useful anyway?
I don't know if I was for the first 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Useful.
To be honest.
Useful.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That being said, gentlemen, let's stick to sports.
Nope.
Let's see how smart the guys really are.
Thanks.
No funny business. Stick to sports. Now on Morning Drive.
And it's brought to you by Decorating Den Interiors. When you are ready to upgrade your home, office, or outdoor space, stick with the pros. DecoratingDen.com for a complimentary online appointment. Chase McCabe, let's roll.
Got a couple of quick things, and then we're going to have a little bit of a longer question that we'll have some fun with here on a Friday. So I thought about this on my way in this morning. It was a question that I've had in my head to ask in the past, and I just keep forgetting about it. When you go to a concert, when you know that you're going to go see an artist, do you spend most of that day listening to that artist, or do you just want to save it for that night?
You got to pregame, right? You got to kind of wet the palate, have a couple of hors d'oeuvres, kind of listen to some things that get you in the mood to build up for the actual live performance. So I would say yes.
I tend to build up like the 2 or 3 or 4 days before a show. I'll listen to that act for a lot more maybe than I normally would. I will say this though: the drive to the show, no. Especially if you're like the windows are down, like you can't be pulling into Starwood Amphitheater like cranking Dave Matthews on the way to a Dave Matthews concert. Like you can't do that. And you also can't
Starwood.
Yeah, you can't wear a t-shirt either. Like I don't like wearing like the Black Keys t-shirt to the Black Keys concert. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm a fan of that.
Why?
But, I definitely listen to the music the day of for sure.
I listen to the music after because it a lot of times it drums up like.
Oh, I need to go check out that song.
Yeah, I want to hear that song again.
Yeah, so
typically, I'm the one that listens to a lot of it after I go to the concert.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Number two.
All right, do any of you guys wear contacts?
Oh, yeah. I'm blind.
Okay.
Blind
as a bat. I wear glasses.
I do not.
How would you feel if you went to the doctor and you found out that a contact that you thought you lost when you were a teenager had actually been embedded in your eye for 28 years?
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, say this again?
A lady in Great Britain went to the doctor because she felt something in her eye, and it turned out that there was a small cyst. But then they also discovered that she had a contact embedded in her eye, and it had been there for 28 years.
Oh, 28 years. Do they make contacts that you change every 28 years?
Exactly.
Apparently they do.
Oh my goodness.
I haven't been able to read the alarm clock at the side of my bed since like second grade. I'm blind as a bat. So I've worn contacts since probably fifth grade, and there's definitely times where it like gets stuck, you know, and like you can't get it out of the corners, and it takes you a minute, but like you know it's there. Like you don't ever like take them out and be like, oh yeah, my eyes are like, you know what I mean? Like you know it's there. Like, I don't know how you go that long without knowing.
Do you ever wear glasses just because you're tired of the contacts and you're feeling like tired and lazy and you just want to wear the?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I wear glasses a lot. I just don't do it much in public or like if I'm working out, they'll just fly off my face. Like if I'm doing any kind of physical activity, moving boxes, for example, the last couple of weeks, no glasses there. But I have ones that you're supposed to. You can wear them overnight, mm-hmm. but it's so bad for your eyes. I take them out every night, so I wear glasses almost every night at home.
That's just too much work. And then I can't. It's something about putting an object in your eye, like something in your eye. I can't get over that.
It changed my life.
I can't
change my life.
And I'm sure it works. It helps and everything else. But it's just something about taking it and putting it.
You want me to pull it out right now?
Yeah. Oh, man.
See, here's the deal. Like D-Mace and Nick, you have slightly different skin complexions. Slightly different. If I didn't have my contacts in, you are 3 feet from me. I would not be able to tell the difference between two of you because you have no hair, either one of you. And I wouldn't be able to tell.
You can look at our bank accounts. That's a good way to separate us.
I wouldn't be able to see the numbers. Like, it's too far away. I can't. I'm blind as a bat, man.
Number three.
All right, that's blind, by the way.
Yes.
Yes. So this is one of those, kind of conundrums that I think anybody could, have on a daily basis. If you're with someone and, you're having a conversation and you look and you notice that they have food or something either like on their face or in their teeth or anywhere on them and they obviously have no idea, do you say something or do you just like let it go?
Well, if you don't like them,
it depends on the person. Like if you're with your wife, you probably say something. But like if like the three of us are out in public,
you wouldn't say anything.
No, if you got something on your face, I'm going to let you look stupid.
Oh my goodness, Nick!
Yikes.
We know what kind of person Nick is.
You got a little egg from your omelet in your beard. That's on you.
Okay,
oh my goodness, do I got a little egg from my
beard? No. So you're if you're in a professional setting, if you're in the office, you have to tell the other person.
Yes, you have.
You got to tell the other person because it's just common courtesy to do that. If it's one of your boys, I understand maybe letting them look a little silly.
But you got to tell them after a while.
Stu Grimson did this to me one time.
Uh-huh.
At a bowling, we all went bowling at one of the charity events, and Stu Grimson was like, yeah, he took a photo with me. He's like, come get a photo, man. And he took a photo with me, and he goes, you got a little something on your own. you got some cheese dip in the beard there. And I was like, oh, God. Thanks a lot, Stewie.
Oh, my goodness.
So if it's one of your boys, I kind of get busting some chops. But if it's a family member, you know, your mom, your wife, your girlfriend, you got to tell them.
What about
you got to tell them you got something in their teeth?
What if it's
whatever.
One of your bosses at work?
Oh my goodness!
Again,
depends
on
which
one.
Do you
want to
embarrass? Do you want to embarrass your boss, or do you want to earn points for helping him out?
Do you like
a little bit of? They both sound like good options.
Yeah, if you're in line for a promotion at work, and all of a sudden, hey, boss, you got a little that cheese dip on your mustache.
They both sound like good options, right? Like.
Oh, man.
Could be a poll question.
Yeah,
sucking up and or trolling. Both good options.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number four.
All right, so this one is actually going to be 4 and 5. We're going to have some fun with this. You guys, I'm sure, are familiar with Reddit and some different Reddit threads. So this is one that I discovered, and it's called Thoughts in the Shower. Just random thoughts that come to you in the shower. I'm going to read some of these. Give quick comments on it. We'll just have a little fun. So this is the first one. At the age of 60, Snoop Dogg will be 420 in dog years.
That's good math.
That's quick math.
And he'll be eating pistachios.
I think there's some irony there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The more we play the song Miss Jackson, the closer Andre 3000 gets to apologizing a trillion times.
Oh my goodness.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Amazon.com might actually be a conspiracy by cats to get their humans to give them more boxes.
This is why I don't like cats.
I don't like cats either.
Yeah, I'm not a cat fan either.
That one's trying to
rule the world.
That's a C minus. The other ones were like B pluses, maybe A's. That was a C.
Okay. Going to bed in your birthday suit is just wearing your bed to sleep.
True?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it's true, but
there's nothing like taking a nap or going to bed in your birthday suit. It's as good as it gets.
You gotta wash the sheets more often.
Yeah, no, you do.
You do.
Again, C+.
Yeah. Okay. We treat the environment like a smoker treats his lungs. He knows it causes cancer, but he keeps smoking anyway because he thinks there's a chance he might not get it. And even if he does, it's too far off into the future to care.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen to that one.
So.
I've got no
that's
concerns
a.
for the environment.
That's an A.
I won't be here anyway.
Yeah.
That's an A. See?
I'm going to ask your kids about that.
We'll leave it on my kids. Let them deal with it. I'm out.
See, that's so
wow.
That's
so I'm with D-Maze, dude.
Oh, so
you know, we glossed over this whole birthday suit to bed thing.
I know. Good.
Can you sleep in socks?
No.
No.
Okay.
Nobody sleeps in socks.
In the wintertime, can you sleep in sweatpants?
No.
Can you sleep in a sweatshirt?
No.
Do we want to talk about this anymore?
Exactly. Like, Nick, what are you trying to find
out?
Do the
people of Nashville want to know exactly how
probably
we sleep?
Probably not.
I don't know if that's
like, my wife can sleep in sweatpants and sweatsuits
socks. That's too much.
No, my wife's the same way. She doesn't wear socks, but she will wear, like, she'll put on, like pajama pants. If she's cold or whatever, she'll put on pajama pants, and I can't, like, I need to be in shorts and a t-shirt.
Oh, man.
Just shorts and a t-shirt.
Nah.
Okay.
I can't even do a t-shirt.
No outerwear, generally, to bed.
One quick one to wrap it up. No matter how much you slept, waking up 5 minutes before your alarm clock makes you feel cheated out of the whole night's rest.
Oh, of course.
It makes you feel more tired.
Oh, of course.
I hate it.
Am I the weird one who's like, if I've woken myself up, I do feel cheated for those 5 minutes, but I already feel like I'm ahead of time on schedule for the day. I'm already 5 minutes ahead because there's a 10-minute snooze that's going to happen. You know, I'm 15 minutes ahead of my schedule.
When that happens, I automatically get up because if I do go back to sleep for 5 more minutes, when I wake up, I feel more tired.
No, you'll be angry.
The worst is getting up before the alarm goes off because you got to use the bathroom.
The worst amount of waking up early is like 18 minutes. Because if you fall back asleep, to your point, Nick, you're going to be more tired. Like 5 minutes, you can just like doze off and get back up again. But like if you wake up like 30 minutes, 45 minutes early, like.
But that 5 minutes is long.
But see, this happened to me last night.
I can snooze. I can hit the snooze button.
I fell asleep around 8:30 last night. I was out early. And I woke up at like 12:07 this morning. And I had to go to the bathroom. I looked at my phone. I was like, oh, my God, I got 4 more hours of sleep.
It's perfect.
I was ready to start fist pumping in my bed. I'm like, yeah.
That's the perfect amount to wake up. You get 4 more. If you wake up on 4 hour increments, you're perfect. Uh-huh. You can go right back to sleep, get a full REM cycle, wake up, and you're good to go.
There we go.
All right, that'll do it. Stick to Sports, brought to you by Decorating Den Interiors.
And Braden Gall, MD.
What?
I'm a sleep doctor.
Oh, you guys okay. Yeah, you're very big on the REM cycle and the.
Thank you, Floyd. For the courtesy laugh.
The 30-minute nap being the ideal.
D-Mace is already like scrolling through his Instagram messages.
He's out. All right, coming up next, speaking of being out, the guy who hit Ronald Acuna, he's out for 6 games. We'll get back into that and all of our Titans observations from camp yesterday between them and the Bucks. It's Morning Drive on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.